C1AP. Number 22A.
So, this morning, in considering Revelation and the Apocalypse, we have gone along that way, upward, uphill, all the way, from Christian Science to Absolute Christian Science to Divine Science. And so we arrived at the climax of Bible teaching in Divine Science. This uphill hill all the way is also shown, as I already have indicated shortly, but I want to stress that again, that in that way up, it all has always to do with one's own consciousness. And therefore it's interesting to see what level of consciousness Mrs. Eddy appeals to in order to show how we can progress step by step. We have seen that in the 10th chapter of Revelation, Mrs. Eddy, when interpreting that chapter, is talking about scientific thought, that scientific thought can reach over continent and oceans. She does not talk about the idea that reaches up over continent and oceans. But first of all, the student always gets acquainted that it has to do with thinking and not with an objective world, and therefore that he has to watch his thinking. So Mrs. Eddy speaks about scientific thought. It is interesting that this is the only time that she uses that terminology in the textbook. It is therefore at the point where, right from beginning of the textbook, she appeals to the thinker, the time for thinker has come, and climaxes it as scientific thought. But that should not be the climax of consciousness. And so, when we come to the 12th chapter of Revelation, then Mrs. Eddy is no more speaking about thoughts, then it is always the idea that does the work. And therefore, there we have a great accumulation of terms like that has to do with idea, like the God's idea, then especially spiritual idea, true idea, the divine idea, the Christ idea, that the idea is great, the immaculate idea, the idea of the fatherhood of God, the idea of the motherhood of God. And I have also indicated somehow during this week that in scientific interpretation one can consider, though this is not a hard and fast rule that applies always, but one of the rules is to see the quantity of a quality. Namely, the quality of idea here is presented in a great quantity. Nowhere in the textbook is there such an accumulation of the term idea, especially spiritual idea, as in the 12th chapter, especially at the beginning of the 12th chapter, in the tone of principle. There, actually within two pages, that term idea appears about 15 times. That's a lot. See, that within, say, around about 60 lines, 15 times the term idea appears. That is, so to say, every fourth line she speaks about the divine or the spiritual idea. That should give us food for thought, and we should ask, has that any meaning when the quantity of a quality is so much stressed in the text? Naturally, we see that this is the difference between the angel of the 10th chapter of scientific thought and the woman in heaven as a symbol of the spiritual idea. So that we can see that as long as we feel that the practice of Christian Science, using Christian Science, applying Christian Science, and so on, has to do with thinking and with the power of our thoughts and the power of our thinking, that we are only at the beginning of things and have not yet touched really the science itself. But thinking is the bugle call, so to say, to the student, and say it has to do with your consciousness, and that consciousness at its initial stage must be trained into thinking scientifically. But then comes the period where one begins to realize that if that thinking becomes subjective to us, divine is subjective to us, then it must become the divine idea. It is at that point where we are no more thinking about mind and about spirit, about soul, principle, life, truth, and love, but where we see that the principle of being has an idea and works as an omnipotent, as an omniscient, as an omnipresent, as an omniactive idea, the 12 stars in your crown. So that actually the power of an idea comes into focus, and you let at that point the idea work out things. As long as we are on the level of scientific thinking, we think out something. We think out what is a problem, we think out how that problem has to be solved, we think out with which method and with which tools we have to work it out. Whereas when we come to idea, we sit back and contemplate really the synonymous term and let the ideas of the seventh synonymous term do the job. The idea of the synonymous term defines the aim, the goal. It defines the way how it should be reached, how it should be demonstrated. It's the idea that opens up really the new vision. It's the idea that begins to clarify a situation, to purify a situation. It's the idea that leads us into a situation where the problem becomes more definite and begins to show itself and uncover itself and therefore begins to resolve itself. So it is that sense of letting God happen, so that the idea that mind has, that spirit has, that soul has, is going to be worked out through the omnioperative principle, life, truth, and love. Then, when we came further from the 12th chapter, Mrs. Eddy goes right away to the 21st chapter, then we have seen that suddenly Mrs. Eddy doesn't talk anymore so much about the idea, practically no more about the idea, but then she begins to talk about consciousness. The moment Absolute Christian Science comes in, we saw she speaks about the various forms of consciousness, of our consciousness, of that consciousness which God bestows, of the spiritual consciousness, of the scientific consciousness. Again, that rendering of scientific consciousness is the only time in the textbook that Mrs. Eddy uses that, here in the Apocalypse, where everything centers at the point of science. And so we begin to realize that it is actually consciousness, the divine consciousness naturally, that is important. How do we gain that divine consciousness? Well, here we have seen that we gain it by culturing first the ideas, and by culturing to the state of thought that begins to let the idea work and work and work, that brings us finally to a state of consciousness where we just are conscious of what the idea is doing. It's no more that we have to, so to say, to pull up our socks and say, all right, now I'm going to contemplate ideas, but that it becomes a background music, a background melody, atmosphere that begins to sound through us and just always gives us a sense that we are really living in a spiritual consciousness, so that within our consciousness something constantly responds when something approaches us, when something is presented to us that is not in line with God. Then we don't first have to say, now what is it and how am I going to solve it, but it responds within us, it resounds within us as a means that can detect the error, can uncover the error, and does not let the error come in. It is not that we let error in and then with that consciousness we begin to resolve it. It's a consciousness that is on the level of absolute Christian Science, where the error just cannot enter in, that it has no way of entering in, and before it touches us, it's seen and uncovered, and therefore seen in its nothingness, and therefore made nothing. But then, too, when we went further and came to the level of divine science, then on that level of divine science, we had neither the sense of idea anymore so much, nor the sense of consciousness anymore, but there she speaks constantly about the oneness, about the sense of oneness. It is there where we get the sense of the oneness of the bride and the lamb, love being one with its idea, love being wedded with its idea, so that the wedding of it, the oneness of it, becomes more and more the focal point of our awareness. And naturally we know that divine science has to do with that level of oneness, where we do no more distinguish between the principle on one side and the ideas of principle on the other side, but where principle and idea is one, and so we live and move and have our being in that principle. There is that point of divine science which we here and there sometimes touch, even while we tabernacle on earth, where we get the touch of that which gives us the definite impact that we do not have to struggle and to fight anything, that there is not even a sense of evil, that there is not even a consciousness of evil, but that everything that seems to be evil is seen as the angel with the seven plagues and says, come up hither, I show you the bride, where we constantly see everything as an idea of God, as a manifestation of God, and are not misrepresenting it or mistaking it as a manifestation of evil. So, if you take the epitomes, and if we quickly look at page 3, then you have seen that I have indicated these stages by defining those stages in italics. You have first on page 3 on the left-hand side in italics, scientific thought. That covers really that 10th chapter. Then further down, when we come to the 12th chapter, you have spiritual idea, symbolized as true womanhood, just as scientific thought is symbolized by angel. So it evolves to the point of spiritual idea. Then on page 4, when we come to absolute Christian science, we touch really spiritually scientific consciousness, and that evolves further to divine science, where you have in italics spiritually scientific oneness. It's really that oneness of divine consciousness. So also in this way we can somehow see how the idea in the ascending way of science unfolds, always showing us a step further and again a step further, a step higher and a step higher and higher. just as with the symbol we have seen that as long as we are approaching the big subject, it's usually the angel that is depicted, then afterwards the woman that is depicted, afterwards it is the bride that is depicted, the pure thought, the pure consciousness, and then the wife, when that bride is wedded to its principle, when it is seen as oneness. Then we get the wife, the lamb's, the bride, the lamb's wife. Then it is wedded to love. Love wedded to its own idea. That's then the wife. So at that time of John the Revelator, he had to use all those various symbols that were only understood by the Jews. They knew those symbols from the Old Testament and from the prophets and from the apocalyptic writings in the Old Testament. We must not forget one thing, which perhaps I haven't brought out yet. Who was John the Revelator? Well, it is said that he was related to Jesus, that he was a nephew of Jesus. He was related to Jesus. He was the one that was also there at the cross. And Jesus said to John, take care of my mother. And but then John the Revelator, apparently, after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, taught in Ephesus. And he was teaching in Ephesus until he was persecuted by the Roman authorities, and was brought into banishment to the Isle of Patmos. He was free there so far, he could not leave the isle, but he was not allowed to preach and to teach. So what could he do? He could do only one thing, namely to write down a fantasy for the Romans. The Romans could not understand his language, his symbolism. So they could not accuse him that he was teaching, that he was breaking the agreement that they had with him. And so he was trying to preach or to show his terrific vision by hiding it deep into the symbolism of the Jews. So the Romans couldn't do much to him. They couldn't understand what he was doing. But the Jews, those who knew the code, the secret code, they could decode it and decipher it. So in this way we know that therefore he had to weigh all his symbolism very carefully and in order to bring out those spiritual ideas. Yes, so he had reached that vision of divine signs and of the city foursquare. Mrs. Eddy says that this is the acme of the signs as the Bible reveals it. Mr. Dawley points out that that is not the acme as the textbook reveals it, that the textbook goes one step further and reveals science itself. Now, in the chart that John Dawley printed at his time, this fourth level is not printed, only the first three. And why? Well, if we know the history of that development, we can see that he started out just as the others did with Christian Science, and the study that he made of the synonymous term were the orders, and they are on the level of Christian Science. And only then, after years, at the beginning of the 40s, he began to see that there must be another level than Christian Science, which could be symbolized with different synonymous terms. So he began to touch somehow the level of absolute Christian science, and then the level of divine science. And that is how he left it for a long period, up to the time of spring 1949. This is an important point to say, because that chart, which you have and which is printed and which is a reprint from his book of The Science of Christian Science, that chart was printed 1948. And the book was, I think, 1946, 5 or 6, doesn't matter. Anyway, a few years before spring 1949. Then, when he was giving his talks on Isaiah and the prophets, he was constantly drawn to Revelation somehow, and would present in between interpreting Isaiah, he would take half an hour or so and would show constantly what Revelation was teaching. That Revelation was teaching the way upward all the way, from Christian science to absolute Christian science to divine science. And then suddenly he was saying, and now there is even a step higher. We can see even a step higher, and that is science itself. So he presented that after really he had printed that chart. And because that chart has not been reprinted, because a year later he left us, nobody was thinking really to reprint that chart correctly according to his vision. The students never really accepted that John Dory was teaching that level of science itself. Unfortunately, it is so that the students don't read John Dory's books very carefully. Most of the most important things that John Dory said 30 years ago are actually not heeded. But if one reads John Dory's book of that time, especially, as I said, those verbatim reports on Isaiah, he brings it out very clearly that there is even a higher level, namely that of science itself. So that a few months afterwards, when he gave the talk, the summer school in Oxford of 1949, he presented it there again in between the text, and will go and show again the development of the idea through Christian science, absolute Christian science, divine science, would always say, and then we can go even higher to science itself. So if my chart is not exactly the same as the one that is printed by the Foundational Book Company, it is not that we diverge, it is just the fact that they are old cards and mine is new. But it is the teaching of John Dory. You know, I always have to rely and say, John Dory said, because when he's too young, even if one is old, one is always too young as long as one lives to bring in a new idea. So what one does is the same trick as the Bible writers have used. When they were seeing something new, they always said, Moses said, even if he hadn't said it. So when they could say, Moses said, then everybody accepted it. So what I have to do is, I always have to say, John Dory said, and then they accept it, and most don't accept it. But it's there, you can read it, and I have it also in the level book. So let's see that actually we should go a step higher in science, and see that after the tone of divine science of the city 4 square, there is even a sense that is higher, namely that the symbols disappear, that everything had been reduced to the 4, and now it can even be more reduced, namely that level of science itself just tells about the infinite one as the infinite principle, as that which says, the Lord God, our God, is one Lord, where one synonymous term defines itself through its own synonymous term. The Lord defines itself through the Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. And so here we come to principle, which is not in Revelation, which is not spelled out in the Apocalypse, but for us we have to see that there is one step higher, namely science itself, which includes divine science, absolute Christian science, and science and Christian science. So we can see that as we arrive at the high point of the mountain of His Holiness, with the Holy City sitting on that Mount of Holiness on Mount Zion. But then we cannot stay there or just be satisfied with that way uphill all the way. That way uphill is the way of understanding. It is the way of understanding, the ascending way of understanding. That's the title we have also on page 3 of study material. But then there is a descending way. And so on page 4 we come to the descending way of science. Actually is the way of demonstration. We always see that the divine principle has two wings. The one is the wing of mind, spirit, soul, reaching to principle. It's the way of understanding that divine principle. If we touch that divine principle and becomes subjective, then the second wing on the other side is life, truth, and love, namely the way principle demonstrates itself. So the textbook and also Revelation goes further and shows the descending way of demonstration. Now, that term descending way is a bit misleading. We actually do not go down. Actually, we only look down. We never leave the housetop and go down, but we stay there. But we can see how that high altitude of consciousness is translating itself right down to divine science, absolute Christian science, to the point of Christian science. And this is what we are going to contemplate.